A recent report by the National Federation of the Blind found that fewer than 10% of the 1.3 million legally blind Americans now read Braille. Half a century ago, half of America's blind could run their fingers over coded bumps embossed on thick sheets of paper and understand their meaning. Rachel Aviv is a Rosalind Carter Fellow for Mental Health Journalism with the Carter Center, whose article, Listening to Braille, appeared earlier this year in the New York Times Magazine. Rachel, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
When Braille was created in the 19th century, it was considered a great boon to the blind. In your piece, you quoted Helen Keller. She said, with his godlike courage, Braille built a firm stairway for millions of sense-crippled human beings to climb from hopeless darkness to the mind eternal.
He was a student at the Royal Institute for the Blind in the 1820s. At that point, he learned how to perform menial labor. At home, he had made shapes of letters from nails, and he wanted to find a way that you could replicate. And so there was a presentation at the school by a French officer who had developed a system called night writing, and it was a way for soldiers to communicate in the dark. And he adapted that and made it easier to read so each letter could fit under the pad of a fingertip.
And obviously, it was such a print-driven society that the context demanded some way to join in. But now, the context has changed.
Well, at that time, if you were blind, it really also meant that you were intellectually isolated. And in the 1950s, if you didn't know Braille, you still were intellectually isolated. You had no way of accessing the print culture. But today, it's not as simple, and it's continually evolved. First, there were books on tape in the 80s, and then in the 90s, audiobooks. And today, all sorts of text-to-speech software, and even little reading machines. You can hold them up to a menu, for instance, and it will take a picture of the menu and then read the text aloud. So it just keeps evolving.
Media theorist Neil Postman wrote that written language enabled us to think more deeply and with much more complexity. Does current research bear that out?
Well, there was a really interesting study of two groups of blind children. One group had grown up learning Braille, and the other group had grown up using audio technology. And the authors of that study said that there was a significant difference in not just the way that they wrote, but the way that they seemed to think. And they referenced theorist Walter Ung, who writes that the act of seeing our own words and then tweaking them and rewriting them, and in that process, rethinking, really creates a new kind of cognitive style. So they said that the students who didn't learn Braille, it was as if they had shaken up their ideas in a container and then thrown them out on a piece of paper, and that there was really no clear organization and it lacked the kind of complexity that they saw in the students who had learned Braille. People who don't know Braille can't really take notes, can't edit your own writing, and you can't edit your own thoughts. And that's a really significant part of the way that people learn to think.
I wonder, after you wrote your piece, whether you were subject to any charges of cultural bias. Many deaf people see themselves as members of a different culture. They don't want to make accommodations to the hearing world. Is Braille seen by some people as a kind of capitulation to visual hegemony or something like that?
Oh, I actually think it would be the opposite. Braille represents blind liberation in a way, because until the 1800s, until there was Braille, they didn't have a real social function. They couldn't participate. And so Braille represents that move, that transition to participating in society in a more equal way. It's a political symbol as well as a practical tool.
So where do things stand now? Is Braille a dying language?
Braille is not necessarily dying, but if you take the threats to print books and you sort of make a caricature of them, those are the threats to Braille books. Creating Braille books is extremely labor-intensive. They're incredibly bulky. For instance, the Harry Potter series comes in 59 volumes, and they're all almost a foot tall.
I guess you don't have to use paper. I mean, you could use sheets of plastic.
Well, there are Braille computers, which look like little shoeboxes, and you run your finger along the bottom of the computer, and you get one line of text at a time. But those are extremely expensive. They're $4,000 or $5,000. Going back to the question about the political aspect, I think that it's easy to think that technology will always make things easier and that blindness will become less and less of a disability. But I think there's a lot of nostalgia for this earlier era.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Rachel Aviv is a Rosalind Carter Fellow for Mental Health Journalism with the Carter Center, whose article, Listening to Braille, appeared earlier this year in the New York Times Magazine.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.